through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And this hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. If we haven't met, my name's Steve, and I'm the vicar here. As Tim said, I've been having a bit of a break over the summer. But a special welcome to you if you're here for the first time. I know that beginning of September, it's a time when people move jobs. So if you've come to Northampton to work or you're here to study, welcome. We'd love to get to know you. And please come and introduce yourself to me at the end of the service. That would be great. It'd be good to know you. And we really pray for you that you'll find a spiritual home while you're here in Northampton. We're doing a kind of a bit of a reset. We're refocusing now. The summer is over, although some of the summery weather is still with us, which is really nice. But we're setting our sights now for the term that's ahead of us. And so this week and next week, we're focusing in on the love of God. This morning, we were thinking about our love for God. And this evening, we're thinking about his love for us, being loved by God. In case you didn't know, it's just a reminder to all of us, we record the talks morning and evening. This morning was a wonderful talk, actually, to set up our series. And if you weren't here this morning, I'd really encourage you to dial in. It'll be up on the web this evening or tomorrow, and listen to that. And Richard, who's the Archdeacon of Northampton, he talked about loving God with a deep, warm affection. And you know, this is at the heart of our faith and our relationship with God, is loving God, not because we have to, but from our hearts with a deep and warm affection. He talked about loving God with devotion, loving God in the whole of our lives, in the big things and in the little things, being aware of God's presence day by day and responding to the prompting of his Holy Spirit. And then he talked about, and I love the way he put this, he talked about loving God with a stubborn commitment, with a kind of a tenacity and determination. And actually, in encouraging us to do that, he reminded us that that's the kind of love that God has for us. God's love for us is a love that will not let us go and will never leave us. And he encouraged us to have that kind of loving God with a stubborn commitment and determination. So I want to encourage you to listen to it. It's well worth listening to. So it's been really helpful to kind of refocus our thoughts at the beginning of this term. And so our theme this evening is the theme of knowing God's love, knowing his love. And the way that I want to unpack this evening, now how many people have been to the seaside this holiday? Been to the beach? Oh, quite a small number, actually. Well, you know what it's like? I mean, so if I go to the beach with Maggie, okay, confession time, okay? When I go to the beach with Maggie, okay, she's just straight in there. Doesn't matter how cold it is, she's straight in there. And I'm the kind of wimpy one at the side who's going, oh, it's cold. And you start, if you ever do this, you dip in and you just dip your toe in and you're trying to get out into the depth. And eventually you give in and you go right into the water. Well, we're going to think about getting into the depths of the love of God. I'm going to begin with knowing his love, and then we're going to go a bit deeper, up to our knees, thinking about experiencing his love. And getting in deep, we're going to talk about sharing his love. And then I'm going to talk about how we get in right up to the tip of our heads ministering his love. So I want to begin with knowing his love, knowing his love. We'll just dip sideways for a minute. One of my favorite prayers is Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is thinking of a group of Christians that he loves and knows very well. And as these people come to mind, he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." It's Ephesians chapter 3, a lovely prayer to prayer. And then he prays for these Christians, and he prays and he says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to grasp, to understand how long and wide and high and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." Paul's real heart cry and prayer for these Christians is that they might know his love. And I want to begin there to talk about, what does it mean to know God's love? Let's read the verses from the end of Romans chapter 5, the end of the passage, verse 6. Paul writes this: "You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and me. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God loves the world. God loves his people. He loves you and me. How do we know that? We know it because of what he did. He gave his son Jesus because he loved us. Maggie read that verse, that famous verse this morning. We began our service. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrated his love. He demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to say, whatever we feel, whatever we experience, whatever like what life is like, whatever your life is like today, there is an objective historical reality that God loves you. And it's rooted in an event that took place, which was the death of Jesus upon the cross. God gave the most precious thing, his only son, so that the world might know that they're loved. And of course, that love, it's not based on our merit. It's not based on what we've done. We cannot earn it. It's based on his unconditional love for you and for me. And whether you have an up day or a down day, a good day or a bad day, whether life is going well or terribly, nothing can ever change the reality of the fact that Jesus died for you. Paul says, even when we were sinners, and Paul knew that because he was somebody who he'd done some terrible things in his life. He persecuted Christians, and yet he realized that God loved him and that Jesus died for him. You see, we live in a world where our feelings are preeminent. Our feelings kind of influence so much of what we do. But if our life is simply based on what we feel, then of course our life is going to go up and down. But God wants you and I to know in the depth of our being, in our heads and in our hearts, that he loves us. And it's rooted in the fact that Jesus died for us. It's what the Bible calls covenant love. An unwavering commitment to his people, an unwavering commitment to you and to me. And Paul uses some legal language, some technical language, right at the beginning of this chapter to express how it happened when he writes these words: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." I'm not going to really unpack that, but it's legal language. It's a legal statement. In other words, what Paul is saying is this: when you and I put our trust in Jesus and put our trust in his death, it's just as if we've never sinned. We've been justified. All we have to do is exercise our faith. We simply have to accept that free gift and put our trust in Jesus. And then we have access with God. Our sins are forgiven. And the way into God's presence and the way back into relationship with him is sealed and sorted for us, and nothing can change that. In fact, Paul would say, there is nothing in all creation, in the heights or the depths, that can ever separate us from God's love. So we begin here with knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're loved. And like Paul praying for his little church in Ephesus, it's my prayer and our prayer for you this evening that you would know the truth that you're loved. The God who made you, the God who created this world, he knows you and he loves you and he sent his son to die for you. It's the greatest gift, isn't it, that God could ever give. I mean, if we were to want to express our love to our parents or our children or a loved one, we would think, wouldn't we, how am I going to express that? What can I give them? And if it's a gift that costs us nothing, then it won't feel like an expression of love, will it? Because we want to give them something that expresses our love. God gave this precious gift, his son, so that you and I might know that we're loved. So if you ever doubt whether or not you're loved, just remember that verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love in this. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might have heard of Karl Barth, a very famous theologian. I have to confess, I've never read the works of Karl Barth. When you see how many they are, you'll see how daunting that is. But one of the preeminent theologians who's ever lived, and he wrote incredible tomes about God. And I think a student once asked him one day, what's at the heart of all of this? How would you sum it all up? And this preeminent theologian who studied the depths of theology said, if I were to try and sum it all up, I'd say this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Summed it all up in this, and here's the heart of it. The Bible is a love story, and the heart of this message for you and for me is that Jesus died for us. But this word knowing in the Bible is much, much more than head knowledge. It's much more than factual or legal, because when the Bible talks about knowing God and knowing his love, it's talking about a deep, personal, intimate knowledge of God. And I don't know about you, but when I read these words, you see, people think about the book of Romans, it is some of the preeminent theology that's been written in the New Testament, and people think it's a wonderful theology that we must get into the depths of. But actually, the book of Romans is a pastoral letter. It was a pastoral letter written by a man with a pastoral heart, writing to two groups of people who weren't getting on. That's why the book was written. And actually, Paul here isn't just writing a bit of theology. Paul is writing from his own personal experience. And so when he says this, hope does not disappoint us. Now, let me go back, because you'll know, if you know the story of Paul, that you'll know how true these words are, because he was a man who knew much suffering. And he writes this: not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Here was a man who knew suffering. Here's a man writing from personal experience of a life of suffering. And he writes, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, or hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's got such a depth of authenticity and reality about it, because here is a man who knew incredible suffering, and yet he had this personal experience of the love of God, of an experience of the Holy Spirit blessing him, sustaining him, strengthening him, and bringing God's love in the midst of all his suffering. So God doesn't want us just to know the reality, the historical reality of his love. He wants you and I, like Paul, to experience the reality of his love personally and intimately in our lives. I wanted to just share a little bit about what's been happening over the summer, because as most of you know, as Tim referred to it, I've had a bit of a break over the summer. And it's been an incredible time, and I'm really grateful to the people who made it possible for me to have a break and had some holiday and had some time away. And I wanted just to say some of the things that God has been doing, because I think if I was to sum it all up, over those 6 weeks when I was away, I just had an incredibly profound experience again of God's personal love for me. He has just brought home to me afresh just how much he loves me. It's been amazing, and in all sorts of little ways and in big ways. And I thought I'd try and give you a bit of a glimpse. If you weren't at the men's breakfast yesterday, who wasn't at the men's breakfast yesterday? You're missing out. Especially you ladies, you're missing out. Yesterday I did share at the men's breakfast about a very profound experience of God's love. But I just want to encourage you guys, second Saturday of every month we have a men's breakfast and we have a speaker, a testimony or something like that. And it's lovely, it's wonderful. But I shared a bit about this, and but I haven't got the same time this evening, so I just wanted to give you a few highlights of some of the things that have happened. So the first way in which God has sort of really expressed his love to me has been the way that he's guided me. I've known him speaking to me personally and guiding me, and it's been absolutely delightful. Now, I did share the story, so I won't share it all again, but I shared the story in the morning service a few weeks ago about a time I had in the Lake District, and every day I was in Buttermere, and every day I was walking around the hills. And on the Wednesday, and Martin and Helen are here, I had made a provisional plan to meet with Martin and Helen in the evening, and they were staying some 40, 45 minutes away, bit of a trek around to another valley. But actually, on the Wednesday morning when I woke up, I began to think, I'm going to cancel that plan if I can. I'm going to stay put in Buttermere. I don't want to get in the car. It was quite nice, actually, not to do any driving at all that week. And so in the course of the day, I was thinking, how am I going to get a message through to them that I'd rather we called off the meeting? And to be honest, they were there with a big family group, and I'd gone away for a week by myself. And, you know, the reality was, actually, I just fancied the time by myself, because I realised that if I was going to meet this big, enormous family, I'd have to sort of chat all evening and get to know them. And actually, it wasn't what I wanted to do. Are you with me? Now, Martin and Helen, their family are lovely. They're wonderful. But I was thinking, how might I get that message through to them that I didn't want to meet up? And so on the Wednesday morning, I got up and I had made a plan for the day. And there was a little church in Buttermere called St. James's Church. And each day I just popped in there, and I had a few moments with the Lord. And to be honest, my prayer was just, Lord, what should we do today? I've got the whole day. I can go anywhere, do anything. What should we do today? And on that morning, I just felt the Lord just give me a little nudge. Don't go to Great Gable, where you had planned to go. Go up onto Red Pike. Now, those of you who don't know the Lake District haven't a clue what I'm talking about. But basically, I headed off on this walk up Red Pike. And the whole walk around the ridge lasted about 4 hours on the ridge. And then I came back down. And all the time I was up there, I was sort of thinking, I need to get a message through to Martin and Helen somewhere. How am I going to let them know that I'm not going to be there? Anyway, I come back down off the tops, beautiful day's walking, lovely sense of God's majesty and glory. And I'm walking along Buttermere, back to the village, walking along the lake, and I passed a little bench on my left-hand side. And as I passed it, I felt the Lord say, go back and sit down. Now, how do I know that was God? The reality is I didn't. But I've just learnt, if you have these little nudges from God, just obey them. Don't ask too many questions. If it might be the Lord, just do it. The only way you'll know is just by doing it. So I thought, okay. So I went back and sat down, and actually had a lovely 10 or 12 minutes just sitting on that bench, enjoying the lake. I'd enjoyed my walk, and it was just a lovely, quiet time, me and myself. And then I just felt this little nudge, get up then, you know, you can go on now, okay. I thought, right, well, that was lovely. Maybe God just wanted me to stop and just enjoy a few minutes, not rush back. So I then walked back, it's about another 40 minutes, back to Buttermere Village, which is close to the youth hostel. And I'm walking into Buttermere Village. There's a hotel there and a car park. And as I get to the car park, through the gate walks Martin and Helen and all of their children. If I had been 15 seconds ahead of where I was, I'd have missed them. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but for the next 2 days, I just had this incredible sense. Isn't that amazing? God knows every step I take. He knows what I'm thinking, praying, considering. He's organizing these things just so that we can meet up. It was absolutely incredible. And it just gave me a very profound sense, which I just needed. God is in control of my life. If I will just be open to him, God is in control of my life. I had a similar experience before the summer. I think there's a picture of this, Renee, this picture called a place called Harn Hill. That's it. Before the summer, I had a plan to go on a retreat centre. And I wanted to have a week away. And I was planning to go to Faldy Brennan. But I just couldn't go. I rang them up and I got in touch. And I just couldn't go. And while I was praying, the Lord just said to me, Harn Hill is the place. Harn Hill is the place. Now, I've never been to Harn Hill. I didn't know there was a retreat centre in Harn Hill. I just got my tablet and I just put in to my tablet, Harn Hill Christian Centre. Is there one? Found there was a Christian retreat centre there. And in the week that I had planned to go, they had a healing week and they had spaces. And it was the most lovely week. I'm going to tell you a bit more in just a moment. But God knew what I needed. And actually, Faldy Brennan wasn't the place to go. The door closed. And because I just took the time to ask him, where shall I go? And because he loves me, because he knows me, because he had something planned for me, he put it into my heart to go to Harn Hill. And I just felt so loved and cared for by God in these little tiny details over the summer. I won't say very much. We had a beautiful time in Italy, a surprising time. In the Dolomites, and it was something we hadn't even realised was part of our holiday, we just kind of got on the coach wondering where we'd go, and we ended up being transported to this place at the top of a pass, and we went up on a cable car and found ourselves looking out over this incredible landscape. And Maggie will tell you, I got to the top and I just cried. I was so moved, not just by the beauty, the sense of God's presence and his power, but just so moved that God had prepared that for me. It was part of our holiday. It was a little unexpected gift. And God knows how much I love the mountains. And by his grace, I mean, I didn't even have to climb to the top. I didn't even have to wear myself out. The coach driver took us up to the pass and then the cable car transported us right up to the top. I just sat back and enjoyed it. And you know, for days after days after days, God just sort of kept sort of saying to me, this is what my love for you is like. This is what my love for you is like. It's just free. I've just done it for you. And I'm even willing to carry you there so that you can enjoy it. So I've known God's guidance. I've known God's presence and these little touches of his grace and his love. And he so longs to minister into the deep places of your heart. We want to make time this evening for ministry, and members of our pastoral prayer team will be available. I wonder if there's some area where you would just love to know God's love in your life. Maybe it goes back many years. So God not only wants us to know his love, to know the reality of it and experience his love, but he wants us to share that love with others. He wants us to share that love with others. You know, in a sense, it's a simple thing. It's just telling others what he's done. Just like I've been doing this evening. What I've been doing this evening, you can do. Now, it might not be as personal, and I'm sharing what I've shared this evening because I trust that this is a place where we don't just blab things and so on. But you have a story to tell. You can just tell people what God has done for you, just like I've been telling you what God has done for me. And sharing his love is just telling your story. It's telling somebody else, if you've got that relationship, what he's done for you. I mean, that's the beauty of Alpha. Did you notice on the video how a number of the people who talked about going on Alpha talked about how they experienced God's love on Alpha? Well, why didn't you just tell people that you know that God loves you? You've experienced that. And if you come on Alpha, you'll find out more. And I want to encourage you, as Tim has encouraged you, to tell your story. And then to pray. Pray for people, to invite people, and then either come or bring them with you. Because God wants them to know what you know. And actually, sharing God's love makes it real. And you realize, I have a story to tell. I can say what he's done in my life. We're to share it through speaking. We're to share it through invitation. Primarily, the way that we're to share God's love is through our actions. Through our actions. I love this little picture. Just somebody coming alongside somebody else and putting an arm around them. Maybe no words. But this is how we share God's love, isn't it? Through our actions, through the little things, through the big things. And there's a really simple thing that you can do to share your testimony with people. And it's simply this. Just to simply say, I'm a Christian. Just simply say, I'm a Christian. Make sure your colleagues know that you're a Christian. Make sure your friends and neighbours know you're a Christian. Because then when you do get alongside them, when you put an arm around them, when you give them that listening ear, when you bring them a cup of coffee, when you help them out at work, when you get alongside them in troubled times, they'll just connect the two. Why is this person doing that? Because they're a Christian. We're called to share his love in our words, but primarily in our actions. So knowing his love, experiencing his love, and then sharing it with others, that's how God wants it to be. And then finally, and I'm speeding up, you've realized, ministering his love. Ministering his love. There's a lovely verse at the beginning of 2 Corinthians. Paul writes this, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God wants you and I to know his love. He wants us to experience his love. He wants us to share his love. But you know what I think is amazing? He wants you and I to minister his love. He wants you and I involved in this process of bringing, sharing, ministering the love of God to others. Paul could write about the God of comfort. He had experienced God's comfort in his life, and then he found that God used him to comfort other people. And if you have experienced the love of God, then God will use you to minister that love to other people. I'm so grateful to the members of our prayer ministry team who serve us, our pastoral prayer team who serve us week by week, and they can be here when people need prayer, ministry, listening, and so on. And I'm so grateful that there are people that we've trained and we trust them to do that. But I believe that God wants to use every single person in this building, in our church, to minister his love to other people. But you know, I don't think we can really do it if we haven't experienced it for ourselves. We can talk about it, we can share it, but we can only really minister the love of God if we're standing in the water for ourselves, if we've known it. Right back in the Romans readings, Paul could talk about God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you opened up your life wide open and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? When you pray, fill me with your Holy Spirit, not only will you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll get filled with the love of God. Because that's what he's like. He comes and he ministers God's love. And we want to make room for that this evening, to minister the love of God. And God wants to use you and me. And in a sense, what we really need to do is we need to be filled ourselves. We need to know the kindness of God. And when we know the kindness of God, we can express that kindness to others. I am actually quite an impatient person. And I don't know if you're a bit like me. And sometimes I get a bit fed up with people who don't do things quickly enough. And sometimes I get frustrated and sort of like, wham, they go, Is there anybody else in church who's a bit like that, who gets a bit impatient with others? When I realised this summer that God has been so patient and kind with me, he still used me, still blessed me, but he's waited all these years until the right moment to then come and minister his love to me. It's just made me think, how dare you be impatient, Steve? How dare? He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, does he? He treats us with kindness and patience and love. And then when we've experienced that from God, then we're able to express that to other people. So I want to encourage you to step deeper and deeper and deeper into the love of God, to experience it for yourself, and then to be willing to be used by him to minister his love to others. We want to now make this a time when every one of us has the opportunity to draw near to God, to experience the love of God, to experience the Holy Spirit. And if you know that you need a touch from God, you need healing, you need him to come into some deep area of your life, we want to make room for ministry this evening. But shall we all stand? We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I want to encourage you to open up now your heart and your life, because the Lord wants to pour his love into your heart this evening. He wants to pour out his Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you're a gracious, kind, loving, patient, wonderful Father. And we pray now, Lord, would you send your Holy Spirit to minister your love to your people this evening. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.